Hare Kripa Kataksha. Verse 7. Mina lava lava lari taranga ramga dola se la dakra la silo la nila lochana valo kane nalalalan nilan menogya magya muhana shide kadavish simam kripa kataksha bhajanam. Again. Mina lava lava lari taranga ramga dola se la dakra la silo la nila lochana valo kane Nalalalan nilan minogya mugda mohanashvate kadakarishyasiyamam sipata takshavajanam. Again. Minalavalavalari karangaranga dorlate ladadralasya lodani lalochanavalokane. Nalalalan nilan minogya mugda mohanashvate kadakarishyasiyamam sipata takshavajanam. Anything that's very important should be said three times. Very important. Minala, lotus stem. Vala Valari, we have Utkalika Valari. Haibhavalavaja. Utkalika Valari is a famous poem by Rupa Goswami. Utkalika Valari. So Valari means creepers. And Vala means young, tender. Vala Valari. Taranga Ranga. You see this word often, taranga. Ranga we already know. We say Ranga Mahal or Ranga Kshetra, it means clay, sporting. Taranga means wave. In the Madhurya Kadambini it talks about taranga something, I forget the term, but it means that we ride the waves of sense gratification. We're trying to practice devotional service, but sometimes the wave of sense gratification overcomes us and then we get drowned for a while and then we pick ourselves back up. And there's just different waves. There's Ridhya Durlabham. Ridhya Durlabham is the weakness of the heart. And Taranga, I can forget the terms, but this word Taranga you'll see a lot. We should learn it. Taranga. So you should make a bumper sticker and say, don't say Taranga, say Goranga. And then everybody will say, what is this Goranga? They change the name of the town from Taranga to Goranga. Latagra means, Dorlate. Dorlate means arm. The arm. So it's just a verse Lord Shiva is describing to his wife, Parvati, some of the beautiful form, the transcendental form, of Srimati Radharani. Inalavalavalavi, Sarangaranga Dorlate. She has very thin arms, like creepers. And rhythmically move, wave and flow like fresh young lotus stems in the ripples of a river. So in a river, there's some lotuses growing, and when the waves are moving in the river, the lotus stems are moving with the waves. So her arms are very relaxed and very thin like a lotus stem. It's not like in the West where the ladies lift weights. You know, they have weightlifting ladies, and you know, they lift these metal weights, and they have these big, what they call the biceps, you know, this thing here. Usually a man has quite what they call bulging muscles and shoulders and powerful arms, and ladies have very thin, like lotus stem arms. Radharani has that type of arm, real woman's arms, and perfect arms. So, Minalavalavalari Taranga Rangadvalate. What's the black book translation to that? Let me see that one. Radha's creeper thin arms rhythmically wave and flow like fresh young lotus stems in the ripples of a river. You need his back or can I hold it? Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. So, Lata. So, what does Lata mean? Madhavi Lata, Bhakti Lata. What does Lata mean? Huh? No, bija means seed. Bhakti lata bija. So what does lata mean? And it's creeper. Malati is a creeper. It's a vine. A creeper creeps up. It creeps along the trees and creeps along the walls. So when you'll notice the word lata agra. Two words. Lata agra. Who's talking about her eyes, the corners of her eyes? Lata agra lasya. Lasya means feminine dance. Actually, in the Rasa dance performance in 10th Canto Bhagavatam, there's different types of dance. There's the Tandava dance. Tandava dance is the male dance that Krishna does. And there's a Halisaka dance. Halisaka dance, which is different gopis together. And there's Lasya, different types of dance. So Lasya is a feminine dance. Lola means restlessly moving. L-O-L-A, Lola. Nila Lochan, what does Nila mean? Blue. And Lochan? Eyes. So Radharani has blue eyes, deep blue eyes, sham color. Avalokane means glance. Lokane, Avalokane means glance. So it's a restless, roving glance of deep blue eyes, dances seductively like vine tips in the breeze. So vine, a creeper, or a lata, or a vine is a very light thing, very thin stem and little leaves, and it crawls up, it twines itself around tree trunks and around different things, branches of trees. So when the wind blows, it just blows. The vine, the tips of the vine tips, they just blow in the breeze. Sometimes they hanker in trees. You go into some forest, and there's some creepers and vines that climb up the tree branch, and they hang down like grapevine. They have a big wild grape. They're holding onto some tree, and they hang. So when the wind blows, they move. So it's explained that her eyes are dancing, just like her eyes are dancing. Her eyes are always moving, looking here and there, from left to right. She looks to see where Krishna is. Is he coming back with the cows? Has he gone out with the cows? Where is he? Her eyes are dancing like that. It's like this. It's very poetical. Or Shiva, the Mahadas. Obviously, he'll use very wonderful words to describe Srimati Radharani. Patagalasti lolani lolochana valokane, lala lolan milan minogi mugni mohanashrite, lala lolan milan minogi. Lala, lala, like you say, lala. Sometimes you say, for boys, lala. So lala means playful, really, isn't it? It means playful. Lali and lala. The little girls and little boys are very playful. So it's like Krishna, very mischievous, stealing butter and yogurt and pulling the tails of the calves and inciting the bulls to fight and doing so many things. So this word lalal in the third line, it means sportive, sporting or sportive frolic. Frolic is an English word. Frolic means a lighthearted sporting. Lulan means playing and moving about. Lulan. Milan, everyone knows this word, Milan. What does that mean? Krishna, Radha Krishna Milan. India, no, because the Hindi is the same way. Milan, very commonly used. It means meeting. Meeting means to meet. When two people meet in Hindi, what do you say? Milaya? Milaya is the same word in Hindi, practically. Lalalulan Milan. This is, you know, okay, so Lalalulan Milan is meeting together in great splendor and manogya. So that what does that mean? It's gya means knowledge, or and mano means mind. So mind knowledge means fascinating. Manogya, fascinating. And mugda moha means completely enchanted. Completely enchanted. This is describing Krishna. He becomes mugda mohan. Ashrite, what does ashrite mean? Ashraya. Take shelter. We sing that in the morning in the Trinity prayers, don't we? Have some Sharanam. Prabhupadian say, I think we just say, I guess it's Sharanam. Okay, Sharanam and Sharanam, it's just Sharanam and Prabhupada say. Yeah, just Sharanam means I surrender and take shelter. That's a Sharanam, different word, but this is Ashrite. So it means that Krishna is the Radharani is the Krishna takes shelter in Radharani. Mohan Ashrite. Who is Mohan? Mohan Ashrite. So you see these two words in Ashrite. Ashraya, like you say, Radharani is the Ashraya, and Krishna is the Vishaya. Vishaya means sense object. Or we say Vishayi is a sense enjoyer, enjoys the senses. So in the spiritual world, the object of all our service is Krishna. He's the object of our senses. All our senses and body are engaged in his service. So he's known as the Vishaya. And then the shelter. Our shelter is Radharani, so she's the Ashraya and the Vishaya, the hero and the heroine. So she's known here as Mohan Ashrite. Krishna takes shelter of her. Then we know the last line. So what's that translation? The restless roving glance of Radha's deep blue eyes dances seductively like vine tips in the breeze. Her playful and alluring movements incite lovely meetings and fascinate Mohan himself, Mohan Krishna, to take refuge in her charms. Oh, when will she shower upon me her sidelong glance of overflowing grace? So now number 8 through 8. Now also, we can, this is bad. We'll chant this one together. More description of Srimati Radharani's form. Suvarna Mali Kansita Chiveka Kambu Kandake Chisukcha Mangali Gunachi Ratna Dita Dite Lola Nila Kunsala Prasuna Gucha Gumpate Adadrishti Simam Kripa Kataksha Vajanam. Again. Suvarna Mali Kansita Chiveka Kambu Kandake Chisukcha Mangali Gunachi Ratna Dita Dite Lola Nila Kunsala Prasuna Gucha Gumpate Dadrishyamam Kripa Katasya Bhajanam. So what does Suvarna mean? We've already had this word before. Talked about Prabhupada's family in Calcutta, Suvarna Malik, 3 days ago. Remember? Came in a family, Suvarna Malik. Anyone remember besides you? Multi jewelers. Yeah, right, here is jewelers, multi jewelers. Do you remember? It means gold. Suvarna means pure gold. Remember I said in Mayapur, there's a place, Suvarna Vihar, and we go on to Mayapur Prikrama. Navadvip down Prikrama, we visit a place called Suvarna Vihar. Remember? No, I don't remember. Just shake your head. Yeah, I remember. So we said, we gave so many descriptions of the word Suvarna, and then 3 days later, no one remembers it. Kali Yuga is such a wonderful age. Isn't it very wonderful to live in this age? If someone doesn't tell us every morning who we are, we forget. You know? That's why Bhakti Sananda Saraswati said that every day a devotee, when he wakes up, he should take his shoes, his chappals, because he's going to put them on his feet. Before you put your shoes on your feet, you should take your shoes, especially if you're a sadhu and wear a karag. What do you call it? Karag? Karang? You wear a karang, wooden shoes. They're quite hard and firm. We just wear these rubber shoes, not very firm, but karag or the karang, they're very firm. So you should take those shoes before you put them on your feet. You should take them, hit your head 100 times. Hit your head and beat your mind into submission. Yes, actually, I'm Krishna Das. I'm not this false ego. I'm not this body. I'm not the enjoyer. I have no memory. I can't remember anything. But let me remember this. Krishna Das on the Das on the Das. Let me remember that. Boom, 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 boom. 100 times pound into your head. All right. Then you put the shoes on your feet. First, 100 times on the head. Then the shoes on the feet. Then you move about, do your seva, do your work or whatever you have to do, and you're according to your ashram and your varna. Then at the end of the night, you take your stick, your walking stick. You know, so many dogs. And it doesn't mean you're old man. It just means everyone has a stick in India. You see even young people with little sticks when they walk in the park, chasing dogs away. You take your little walking stick and then you beat your mind 100 times again. Remember, when you take rest, 1/4 of your life is going down the drain right now. 1/4 of your whole life, or maybe more if you sleep more. You sleep 8 hours, and 1/3 of your life, 33% of your life is going to waste right now when you lie down in this bed. And are you going to remember Krishna? Will you think of Guru even once in a whole year? In 10 years, will you dream of Guru even once? In 15 years, will you ever think of Krishna? Bam, 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 100 times. So this is Kali Yuga. We have such a brain that it requires a special massage. Our brain and memory requires a special massage with the shoe and the cane. Suvarna means gold. What does Malika mean? Like we make flower malas. What is a flower mala? Another name for the word garland. Or is it go around? Necklace. So, because there's ratna malas, there's pushpa malas, there's jewel malas, all some kind of moti malas. So mala means necklace. It can be made of flowers, it can be made of so many things. So malika means necklace. So we have gold and we have a necklace. Then Anchita, there's two words, Mali. Like you say, the people out front of the temple, they're Maliwalas, right? The Mali. The Mali means the gardener. Where's the Mali? Mali kahan hai? In the little Hindi book, where is the gardener? Aaj Mali kahan hai? Where's the gardener today? Di nahi. I don't know. I think he has Tuti. Aaj Tuti hai. I'll study YouTube. So Mali is the flower wallet, and then Anchita means decorated with. Decorated with Mali. What is Trireka? Trireka means three lines. And Kambu means conch shell. Smooth like a conch shell. Kambu. Kandake. That means, what is Kanta? What do we say? Tulsi Kanta. So this is a Tulsi, so what's the Kanta? Neck. So Kandake means neck. You see a Kanta. The thing where just a couple letters at the end doesn't change what it is. Kandake. Shivana Mali Kansita, Trireka Kambu Kandake. And it's describing Radharani's, we heard about Radharani's arms and her glance and her movement and how she, with her glance, with her form of her arms and her glance, her seductive glance and her movement, they fascinate Lord Krishna himself, and he has to take shelter in Radharani, Mohan Ashrite. So now we're going to hear something about the Radharani's neck and with his smooth conch shell like neck is marked with three lines like Krishna. Krishna has three lines in his neck. And it's decorated with a pure golden necklace. Shivarna Mali Kanchita. She has a golden necklace and she has three Trireka Kambu. She has three lines on her neck and it's very smooth and attractive like a conch shell. Tri Sutra Mangali Guna Tri Ratna Vitadita. Hey, Tri Sutra, that means three strands. Mangali Guna means jasmine flowers, and Tri Ratna means, Ratna as you know means jewel, like we say Divya Ratna or Ratna Simhasan. We sing that in evening arti. What's that phrase? Sivavati Atigora Chan Ratna Simhasan, right? Everyone knows, we sing the song, we must know the words of what we sing. Sivavati Atigora Chan. Oh, Gora Chan is, he's sitting on a Ratna Simhasan, he's sitting on a wonderful jeweled throne. And Narahari is dancing, and the Vaita is offering Chamara. All this wonderful vision we have when we sing this song. So we're supposed to remember the eternal pastimes of the Lord happening at that time. Bhaktivinoda has given us a song. So Ratna means jewel. Ki Ratna Dita Dita Teh. Dita, what is Dita? Diwali, that means light or fulgence. So Tri Ratna means three jewels. So she has a golden necklace. And she has a necklace of small jasmine flowers, and then she has three necklaces of pearl, diamond, and emerald. Diamond necklace, emerald necklace, and pearl necklace. No plastic beads like we have for our deities. You know, white plastic, green plastic, and gold plastic. Of course, Prabhupada said if we keep real jewels, then the pujaris will become thieves. Kali Yuga. So we have in plastic, but she has, Radharani wears the real things, the most costly things too, diamond, emerald, and pearl. I think the ruby, of course, is also costly. So Dita means brilliancy of beauty, and Dita means you are splendorous and effulgent auras, as we translate it. So it's describing her ornaments, her necklaces, and decorations. And of course, we shouldn't get confused here. In the material world, when a man or woman decorates himself with golden necklaces and pearl rings and bracelets and whatnot, I say men and women because that's the way it is these days. When they put those, they're quite ordinary, a man and a woman are quite drab, they're quite plain and ugly, really. There's not much color to their bodies except their eyes, and so they put all paint on their faces and nose and, you know, powders and lipstick and everything. And then, even then, it's quite, and then fancy, lots of fancy clothes, lots of jewelry. So then when they put the jewelry on, they say, oh, now I'm very beautiful. Bracelets and rings and necklaces, and so it enhances my beauty. It's a decoration, it's an ornamentation, it's an embellishment. Let me close the door. And then the dogs come right in, and it's our offense. Because we're negligent, invite the dogs into Krishna's temple. So, but in the case of Radharani, we may, when we're hearing the description of her decoration, we may be thinking, oh, it must be so beautiful. But actually, Radharani's form, her transcendental form is completely, it's the repository of reservoir, the source of all beauty. all effulgence, all attraction, all beautiful things are emanating from the body of Radharani. It's described by Prabhupada and under Saraswati in Radharas Sudaniti. How does the earth get its fragrance? There's five elements in this world, and each has a different quality, until finally you get to the earth, which combines all the five qualities of taste and smell and touch and color and form and all these things, which are present to one less in each element as you go up from earth to water to fire to air to ether. So all five things are there, all five sense objects are contained within earth. So one of the things that's contained within earth is Gandha. Gandha is not in water, but there's touch and there's no smell in water, but there's touch and there's form and so many things. You can feel it and whatnot. You can't smell water, but you can smell the earth, so this is the final thing. So it says, so earth has this quality of Gandha, or smell, or fragrance. From the same earth, you get a rose smell, you get a jasmine smell, a champak smell, apple tree. So many different fragrances and smells come from one earth. So Gandha has its origin in the earth, at least materially speaking. But according to Prabhupada Saraswati, the earth has no Gandha, has no fragrance. But it receives Gandha when Radharani is changing her clothes and she drops her dress, and she drops her slip down to change into her clothes, and her dress falls down. When it falls and touches the ground, because it's so, it is imbued and suffused with the natural aroma and beautiful aroma of Srimati Radharani's transcendental body. So then, at that time, when the earth receives the touch of Radharani's dress, or Nilambara Vesh, then the earth receives the quality of Gandha. So, by contacting Radharani, then the earth receives smell. This is probably the Saraswati explaining. So the idea is that the jewelry on Radharani, the diamond necklaces, and the pearl necklaces, and the emerald necklaces, and the golden necklaces, they are not making her more beautiful. She's making them look more beautiful. That a pearl, when it's on Radharani, when a pearl necklace is on Radharani's necklace, Radharani's neck, around her beautiful conch shell neck, becomes such a beautiful necklace. It's not that it makes her more beautiful. Goranga. Salola Nila Kuntalam. Salola means moving. Salola means moving to and fro. We already know Lola because we just had it in verse 7, the line number 2. Asagra Lakshi Lola. Lola means moving. Now again we have Salola. So Lola or Salola. Salola or Sulola or Lola. Lola. So it's moving to and fro. Nila. What is that? Deep blue. Nila. And Kuntala. Kuntala means hair. Locks of hair. Kuntala. Pasuna means flower blossoms. And Gucha means bunches. Clusters of flower blossoms. Gumpate means your hair is interwoven as such. So, translation, her flowing deep blue black locks are interwoven with bunches of colorful flower blossoms. So there are flowers woven into her veini, into her braid. And Radharani's hair is explained by the acharyas that because she's always thinking of Krishna within her mind, just like we have they say in the material world, that if someone sees a very harrowing and horrible and frightening sight, sometimes they're so afraid, or they have a near-death experience, someone comes to kill them or threaten them, that sometimes a person, he may have brown hair or gray, or let's say brown hair or black hair, he sees that frightening sight and his hair turns gray. That's what happened to me. I saw the material world when I came out of my mother's womb. My hair turned gray. It's a very frightening place. But unfortunately, we didn't think of it. We thought it was, oh, what a wonderful place. Let us enjoy it. So Prabhupada said, that's the trouble with you Western boys and girls. You're not afraid of Maya. Of course, now you're all Western, so you're included too. 100 years ago, there was Western boys and girls, Eastern boys and girls. But no more. There's no more Western East, because everybody watches the same TV, and everybody eats the same nonsense, things we don't mention. And everybody does the same things and wears the same Levi's and blue jeans and Lees and this and that, and all over the world, from India to China to Singapore to Africa. So there's no more East and West. So the trouble with young people today all around the world is they're not afraid of Maya. So no one's hair is turning gray. You can see, everyone has nice, black, and beautiful hair. So he had to become afraid of Maya. But, but it happens. And because the mind becomes surcharged, you could say, or saturated with fear. And with this mental fear, transforms the colors of hair. When the fear grabs the body and grabs the mind, then the mind reacts in such a way that it's psychosomatic, that the mind over matter. The mind influences the material arrangement of the body, so the hair turns gray. It's a medical fact. It's not made up. So in this case, we see, now, Radharani, she's not afraid of anything. In fact, she just raises her hand, Varabhayat. By her benediction, Varabhayat. One shloka there, Varabhayat. She gives the boon, her benediction, Abhay. Right? We had that shloka, Varabhayat. And Bhaya means fear, and Abhay means fearless, and no fear. But she gives the benediction of fearlessness. Just by, when you see Radharani's raised hand, and you see it creates fearlessness to the devotee. It's a benediction, it's a blessing. Fearlessness, Varabhayat. So she's not afraid of anything, but she's thinking of something very deeply. She's thinking of someone very, very deeply. She's completely absorbed in thinking of one. So her mind is completely surcharged and completely saturated with the thought of something. Not a fearful thought, but a joyful thought. A thought full of joy and happiness. And that thought is just preoccupying Radharani's mind. It's just one thought. And that thought is Sham, Sham, Sham. Sham Sindhu, Krishna. So the Acharya is explaining, because she's always thinking of Shyam, she's always thinking of Krishna. What color is Krishna? He's bluish black. So because her thoughts are inside her beautiful form, inside her head, her thoughts are completely wrapped around like a creeper wrapped around a tree. Her thoughts are completely entwining the form of Krishna. She's thinking of his form at every moment. So then what comes out of her head? Bluish black hair. The Radharani's hair is bluish black. Nila Kuntala. So this is just to explain. So she's like, we have frightful thoughts, and from black hair comes gray. So Radharani, why is her hair bluish black? Because Krishna's hair is described differently by Satyavrata Muni. We sing that prayer every day in Karti. And Damodarasya. And he explains, he's desiring to have this wonderful vision of Damodara Krishna being chased by his mother with his beautiful curly locks of black hair, surrounding his beautiful lotus face like a swarm of bumblebees, and has a slightly reddish tinge, rakta. The word is rakta. Remember that? Rakta. And Krishna's hair is blackish, but has a reddish, kind of a reddish highlight. Because that, they say, that represents the anurag. That reddish tinge, the reddish tint, the reddish tint of Krishna's black hair represents the anurag. Because he's thinking so much of Radharani and the transcendental passion of divine spiritual love, which is known as anurag, and bhav and rag and anurag like that, that it gives his hair a slight red tint. The Radharani, of course, she has the same depth of feeling for Krishna, but she's thinking of him in such a mood of service and such a mood of surrender that her hair has a slightly bluish tint. So your flowing deep blue locks are interwoven with bunches of colorful flower blossoms. I see this other book. So the translation for the whole thing. Srimati Radhika wears a pure golden necklace on her neck, which is as graceful as a lovely conch, enhanced with three lines. Radha shines in the splendorous auras of her three-stranded necklace, woven with small garlands, and decorated with three jewels of diamond, emerald, and pearl. Her luxuriant black tresses, artfully woven with clusters of flowers, flow in waves towards her heels. Oh, when will she shower upon me her sidelong glance of overflowing grace? She ought to keep a kataksha kizai. Tenth canto, chapter 30, text 35 and 36. We'll repeat text 34, just as you know, the gopis, Krishna left the gopis to curb their pride and their searching for him, and they found his footprints, and the footprints, then they found the footprints of another gopi, Radharani, and Radharani's party was happy, and Radharani's party was sad, and then Sukadeva Goswami intervenes, speaks a little philosophy to keep everything adjusted properly, so the hearers of Bhagavatam will hear the wonderful sweet nectar of Krishna's all-attractive pastimes. But at the same time, Shukadeva Goswami is an expert psychologist, an expert preacher, pure devotee of the Lord, eternal servant of Radharani. He can understand when it's time to give a little preaching, mix the sauce in with the nectar, so to speak. So in this verse we had yesterday, he's reminding us, who is this boy Krishna? Whose footprints are we hearing about? And who is being described here? It's the Atma Ramo Akandita. And these three words are used. Atma Raka, Atma Rama, Akandita. In the previous verse. So he says to Pritchett, he said, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi. Now it's been revealed that the gopi he went with, her footprints have been identified because of the particular marks on her feet, a chariot, and a fish, and a sacrificial altar, and a row of mountains, and conch shell and so many things, flag and a goat, elephant goat. Her feet have been identified specifically that they're Srimati Radharani's feet. He said that gopi, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, Atmaram, being self-satisfied, Atmarasa, and complete in himself, Akandita. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women who are empty in themselves and completely depend on each other, without which they cannot find satisfaction. There's no question of a man without a woman or a woman without a man being Atmaram or Atmarata or Akandita. Not possible. Only one on the spiritual platform can have that experience. That's why we see Atmaram Asamuniyo. The Munis are the great sages are described in the second canto of Bhagavatam. They are also Atmaram because they identify with Krishna, body, mind, and soul, surrender to the Lord in service and love. So therefore, they experience the same self-satisfaction, inner happiness, and completeness that the Lord feels, only in a much less degree. But his degree is unlimited. Text 35. Utgivam darshayant yastash cheru gopyavike sataha yam gopim manayat krishno vihayam yatriyovane sacha mene kadatmanam varishtam savayoshitam hitva gopi kamayana mamaso bhajate priyaha. Please repeat, everyone. Iti, thus, evam, in this manner, darshayantya, showing, ta, they, cheru, wandered, gopya, gopis, vichetasa, completely bewildered, yam, which, gopim, gopi, anayat, he took, Krishna, Vihaya, abandoning, Anya, the other, Sriya, women, Vane, forest, Sa, she, Cha, also, Mene, but, Tada, then, Atmanam, herself, Varishtam, the best, Sarva, all, Yoshitam, women, Hitwa, rejecting, Gopi, gopis, Kamayana, impelled by lusty desire, Mam, me, Aso, he, Bhajate, accepting, Priya, beloved. Translation. As the gopis wandered about, their minds completely bewildered, they pointed out various signs of Krishna's pastime. The particular gopi whom Krishna had led into a secluded forest when he had abandoned all the other young girls began to think herself the best of women, Varishta. My beloved has rejected all the other gopis, she thought. Even though they are driven by Cupid himself, he has chosen to reciprocate with me alone. Purport, this is Srimati Radharani speaking. Previously, all the gopis had become proud of their association with Krishna, and then suddenly lost his association. Only Radharani remained with him. Now she had also become proud of that association and will suffer a similar fate. The Lord arranges all this to reveal the gopis' unparalleled devotion for him, a devotion whose intensity fully manifests in moments of separation. The gopis' unparalleled devotion for Krishna. It's such a devotion that it, whose intensity fully manifests in moments of separation. In the Western world, they have an expression, there's two expressions, but we'll use one for this point. They say that out of sight, out of mind. So my husband has gone away for 2 weeks traveling vacation, working, 2 weeks traveling to work overseas. So I'm by myself for 2 weeks in the house, out of sight, out of mind. So I'm separated from my husband, but so what? Now I can have fun. So many men at office, so many here, there. But this is modern world. There's no question of, but we see that when the gopis are separated from their object of love, from Krishna, their separation, it shows, it actually tests and reveals the intensity. It fully manifests the intensity of their unparalleled devotion to Krishna. So it's like a test. And they pass the test with flying colors, because when they're separated from Krishna, they don't say, well, out of sight, out of mind, I can't see Krishna, so let's forget about him and go with someone else. No, they can't see Krishna, they go mad looking for him. And this madness is revealed in the pages of the Bhagavatam. It shows the intensity of their love, how deep and how absorbed they are. That's such a beautiful statement. The devotion whose intensity, how much does one love a person? You can tell when there's separation. It's like many disciples, they love Prabhupada when he was here. But when he left, then they, love means you serve, right? That's the meaning of love. If you love someone, you serve. You do this and do that. So if you love them, you try to do everything that they ask, plus everything they don't ask. The first class, love anticipates before the lover even mentions and carries out. That's real love. You're so much tadatmika, so much identifying with the other lover, you're thinking what the other lover thinks. You're feeling what the other lover feels. And that's what puja is all about. We're supposed to learn how to become tadatmika with Krishna, with the Archavigraha. How is Krishna feeling? Oh, it's very hot today. Oh, it's very cool in the morning. I won't turn the fan on. Oh, but now it's become hot. I should turn the fan on in the evening. Krishna must be feeling hot. Because you're identifying, you're thinking of him. He didn't come and ask you, but you're reading into it, because you're identifying so much with Krishna that you can relate. Oh, he's hungry now. Now he needs some warmth and he's cold. And you see in the great lives of the great devotees, sometimes they wake up in the middle of the night. You know, they're so much identified with their chakras, with their deities, they wake up in the middle of the night and they think, oh, Krishna, I think Krishna's thirsty. It became very hot tonight. Some lu came in from Rajasthan, some heavy, dry wind. All of a sudden, it was a very hot and dry night. Somehow, I have this feeling that Chakraji is very thirsty. Then he goes down to the deity room, and he goes in very quietly, you know, doesn't turn any lights. And he looks, and all the water cups on the altar are all empty, completely empty. Oh, I was right. Chakra's thirsty. So he goes and gets some nice cold water. He doesn't just get water. He says, oh, I just get some water. There's a pitcher here on the altar. I'll just pour this. You know, they keep a water pitcher on the altar with a cup. No, that's going to be warm. So he goes to the refrigerator, or goes to a 24-hour market shop or whatever, buys some ice. You know, this is love. And he comes back, makes some nice cold water, stirs around, puts a tiny bit of camphor in, and maybe a little rose petals to scent it very nicely, scented water Krishna likes. Then he goes in, fills up the cup, fills up the pitcher, and goes back to sleep. This is real love. Not that, well, when Krishna asks me, or when the temple president says, can you change the water cups? Can you change the water cups tomorrow? Oh, okay. So this is how, by serving Krishna, if it begins with, it's totally impersonal, but gradually becomes more and more a person you identify. So this is exemplified in living reality, in full technicolor, in the pastimes of the gopis and Krishna. When they came to show that to you, look how much they're identifying with Krishna. So there's no question of the gopis out of sight, out of mind, like we have in our world, with our so-called love, our so-called conjugal love, man and woman, husband and wife. It's just a joke. It's just out of sight, out of mind. But with Krishna, it's out of sight, completely mind, I become Krishna, in mind, in heart, everything. He's out of my sight,
But he's got to visit my eyes. I can't see him, but I'm seeing him in my mind. I'm seeing him in my heart. I'm seeing him in the trees. I'm seeing him in the land. I'm seeing him everywhere. Like Radharani says that when I'm with Krishna, I only see one Krishna. But when I'm not with Krishna, I see thousands of Krishna. And there's a painting like that. I saw one place in Delhi, one like under thousands. That's a nice painting. And so Radharani was sitting there like in a garden with an unhappy look on his face. She had her hands like this. She was like, she was feeling separation from Krishna. And then the artist painted in every bush, and Krishna was like this inside one bush like this with a flute, another bush he was looking through like this. There's about 50 Krishnas all around in this little kund, in this circle, and they're all looking at her. She's like, you know, I asked, what's the meaning? And she said, this is a shloka like that. The painting was like that, describing that. She said, where is my Krishna? I can't see Krishna. It's like, see Krishna everywhere in the cloud. Oh, that's a cloud, and a tamal tree, and a black deer everywhere. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. Gopis are, in separation from Krishna, they reveal that unparalleled. You know what unparalleled? Parallel means this and this. That's parallel, like railroad track. That's parallel. Unparalleled means you can't compare. Incomparable. Incomparable, unparalleled, super excellent, topmost. Nothing can compare, nothing equal to, nothing beyond. Their devotion for Krishna. A devotion whose intensity fully manifests in moments of separation. So I was making a point that when Prabhupada was here, I was talking about Guru Bhakti, I was talking about Archa Vigraha Bhakti, we were talking about Prema Bhakti, the Gopis. So Guru Bhakti begins with Guru Bhakti, then when Guru sees there's some more bhakti and some purity, then he gives you Sakriti Bhakti, because he engages you. First you engage in Guru service, then he sees you actually have a heart. And you're not just a steel Iron Man, or an Iron Man or something. You're not an Iron Man, an Iron Woman, steel woman. And he sees you have some heart, then he may give you Krishna. Now you worship Krishna. Just like when Prabhupada went to Australia and installed Radha Gopinath, I think. He said, he was praying to them, it's in the Leelamrita. He said, Gopinath, I'm leaving you here in this, you know, this among these, with these aborigines here. Because we call the Abos, you know, the Abos are somebody else with a, you know, with a bone in their lip and a, you know, a some, you know, fish in their nose or something. But the from Prabhupada's viewpoint, the so-called civilized Australians, Americans, and Germans and Frenchmen are aborigines. aboriginal habits, jungle behavior are less than animals. Dwipadi Pashu, two-legged animals. He said, I'm leaving you here with these, you know, aborigines, and so please, I hope that they take care of you, something like that. So in some cases, Prabhupada extended his mercy in a great way. He didn't even consider whether it was Iron Men or Iron Ladies, or even aboriginals, he would give us the deities to worship. But at any rate, when Prabhupada's here, then it's always, oh, I love Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. I follow his instructions. I love him, which he said, love means service. They serve him. But then he leaves, his body leaves, out of sight, out of mind. And the proof of it is, they stop their service, they stop chanting, they stop following his principles. So I love Prabhupada, but it means you follow his rules, you follow his teachings. So love is testing and separation. So we've had 18 years of tests. Prabhupada's disciples have 18 years, 1977, 1995. So love is testing and separation. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's the second quotation. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Absence increases your attachment. Absence increases your remembrance. Absence increases your faith. Absence increases your surrender and increases your love until it becomes like this. An intensity which fully manifests. So in other words, what is your intensity of Guru Bhakti? It will fully manifest in moments of separation or in a year of separation. I haven't seen my Guru Day for 6 months. I'm going crazy. I can't make it. I hear some devotees. our Guru Day only comes once a year to our temple. He's always traveling. Really? What would happen to you in 18 years? What if he doesn't come for 18 years? Out of sight, out of mind. Hang up the beads, goodbye. Say goodbye to my four principles. So this is very nice. On the highest level of Gopi, Gopi Bhav, Braja Bhav, Braja Bhakti. But this Bhakti, where does Braja Bhakti begin? Where does pure love of Radharani begin? Where does the pure love of Krishna begin? With Guru Bhakti. Guru Bhakti. Very nice. Any questions? Do you understand my language? Bala Bhajavi. Tato gatva vino desham jutta keshvam avridit napadayeham chalitum mayamam yatute manaha.
Translation.
As the two lovers passed through one part of the Vrindavan forest, the special gopi began feeling proud of herself. She told Lord Keshava, I cannot walk any further. Please carry me wherever you want to go.
Special gopi
is very nice throughout this discussion, because as we already understood, that Shukadev is incapable of reciting directly the name of Radharani or Radhika, because if he does, he'll go in a vista chitta or something. He'll go into a state of trance for 6 months, which is told in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and then he can't speak the Bhagavatam, and Pritchett would be out of luck, and so would we. But what he does do is he uses such words that really speak very highly. The special gopi, and he says that gopi, anyway, the ways he's speaking in Sanskrit to indicate it's not an ordinary person. Text 38. Evam yukta priyamaha sanda aruyatamati tatas chantar dave krishna savadur anvatak yata. Thus addressed, Lord Krishna replied, just climb on my shoulder. But as soon as he said this, Krishna disappeared. His beloved consort then immediately felt great remorse. Avatapyata. Purport. Srimati Radharani is exhibiting the pride of a beautiful girl who has brought her boyfriend under control. Sound familiar? On either side. In other words, on our side, men's side. Sound familiar? You've been under control? Have you ever been under control of a beautiful woman? And then you ask the ladies from the left side, right side, have you ever been proud of how you controlled your boyfriend or husband? Oh, well. Yeah. Purusha Bhav.